the palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife, Betty, subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay? I mean,
the law. You're all going to die down here.
Law, country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, October 19th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sid Rep for Core Political Tyranny Technology and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are as well. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any which way that you see fit. I've got a whole Jimmy Whack of feedback coming at you, and I've got a crazy sort yourself out and an opinion piece, so lots of good stuff, plus a whole hockey sock full of news, being the good Canadian kid that I am. Starting right off here, hey, Sean, on Friday's show, you mentioned that you had copies of the Bible and the Quran, but not the Torah. This isn't true! Okay. I'm looking on my shelves and I don't see a book called Torah, but anyway, I have a book called Torah, but I don't have one called the Torah. In the traditional sense, it's the five books of Moses, or the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Oh, well, that's cool. I guess I do have a copy of the Torah. That, in the general sense, it may also include the law or the 613 commandments. Wow, that's quite the set of laws. The Old Testament, the oral tradition of the Jews, and the wisdom of God. So you can read both the Torah and the first five books of the Bible at the same time if you want to. Well, that's kind of handy. Kind of get it all together so we know where all the mud huts are coming from. Also, I agree that it seems as though religions promote violence through intolerance. It would seem that way, being as there's, I've got about 4,000 years of evidence to back me on that one. But true religion is not the kind seen in the news, trademark. It is, it's was Jewish law, not Christian theology, that condemned homosexuals to adultery and death. Well, good finger pointing there. It's the Jews. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've read some of the Jewish stuff, and I know that the Jews don't really like Gentiles. But, I mean, that's true for Muslims don't like the unbelievers, and Christians don't like non-Christians. I mean, it's pretty much where you're either in this religion or you're not. And if you don't follow the religion, you're a bag of shit. Same with Scientology anyway. According to the Christian theology, when J.C. created a new covenant between man and God at his crucifixion, which I've never really understood that because I just think that's retarded. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm actually up on my Bible. But it's like, I'm going to die for all the world's sins. What? No, man, that's retarded. At his crucifixion, incidentally, even though Jesus was up on a stick for a couple of days, that's fuck all compared to some of the punishments that some people deserve. So I don't think the punishment really fit the crime. But anyway, at his crucifixion, a reproved requirement of the law, not that the law had the bearing on Christian life, just as the Christian life was to be led by the spiritual aspect of the law, learn Greek or read a good translation of the Romans for an explanation of the relationship between law, grace, and sin. All right, okay, now we're getting into biblical speak. Christianity does not support violence. Then why are there priests in the army? And people who represent Christianity and justify the use of violence to make themselves feel exalted are wackos. Well, I would say that, now, not to get too down, this is from Burger No Fries. Now, granted, you know, at one time in my life, I actually was a pretty strong Christian, believe it or not. So I know my religious, you know, doctrine pretty good. But the truth of the matter is well, I'm not going to get sucked into some sort of weird religious theology with you here as I fuck with my mic cables and make static. The truth of the matter is that, well, it doesn't make sense. It's retarded. Okay, the Bible is wrong. Although it's got a lot of really great ideals and stuff like that, it is not factual. Okay, no matter how much we want it to be factual, if I had the choice, I'd like it to be factual. Okay, it'd be really cool if it was factual, but it's not. None of these religions are, in fact, factual. Okay, you gotta understand that. There's nothing there. It's not real. It's a fucking storybook. Okay, now granted, the storybook's a nice storybook, and it says some nice stuff. But just like every other religion, it's not fucking real. Okay? So let's just understand that and get out of this demon-haunted fucking world and start heading towards the future. Thanks for calling. Now, hey, Sean, this is your buddy from the Michigan Militia. Oh, goody. You can get to him at MichiganMilitia.com. Shameless plug, by the way. The new Militia Babes calendar is on sale now, which is it's pretty good. You got to go down there and check that out. If I was going to buy me a calendar online, I'd love to get me a Michigan Militia calendar because it just, you know, you got to see it to believe it. It's awesome. Digging season number two. This would be a patrolling. I'm trying to get the whole phys ed thing going. I've been losing weight, 80 pounds since 10-8-04. 80 pounds a year. That's pretty good, buddy. But I've not made exercise a day in, day out, inculated part of my routine. My wife, a.k.a. call sign Pretty Woman, and I've been going to a clinic for fat people. And the group support is very helpful. The shrink counselor there and the exercise dudes speak about how exercise needs to become part of who you are, and it's just there. This is all like ingraining physical fitness as part of your life. You eat, you sleep, you poop, and you exercise, period. You can't imagine not doing it. So that's my goal. I'm going out at 5:15 tomorrow. I've been walking up to 3.6 miles three times a week, but I've done nothing for 3 weeks. I'm going to do 30 minutes tomorrow thanks to the inspiration. P.S. I was a big fat guy, over 400 pounds. Now I'm 330, and soon I will be getting a DEXA scan. It is an individually specific body mass index scan. With that info and my doctor's advice, I will help decide on my weight goal, yada, yada, yada. I'm looking for a physical fitness goal of running 2 miles, 2 to 3 times a week, without dying for it. It will be a while. Thanks again for all you do in helping people pull their heads out of whatever box or hole they are ensconced. Peace and liberty. And that is from Militia 48186. Well, thank you very much, 48186. I would have to say that generally, apart from working out, and, you know, it's always good to talk to your doctor, although I don't really trust those guys because they'll start, you know, handing you diet pills and all the rest of it. I would say that most of your working out is your diet. Okay, so you can take a lot of the work out of working out by dieting. And I don't mean by dieting as in, you know, you stop eating. You watch your diet. You don't eat fat food. You know, eat fat-free cottage cheese, chicken breast instead of beef, that shit like that. Eat all the low-fat stuff. I mean, there's lots of books out there to eat a low-fat diet. You know, eat 6 small meals rather than, you know, 3 big ones. You know, and you make sure you get enough sleep, work out in the morning before you, you know, really simple stuff. You don't have to get up at 5:15 in the morning. You know, make it fun. Go do stuff. Don't do the same thing every time. Go swimming, for Christ's sakes. Weight falls off in the pool, man. I'm here to tell you. Like, it drops away. You know, and if you need to get motivated, well, nothing like a good war movie to get you motivated to lose weight. That's the way I see it. On to the sort yourself out. This is a good one. You ready for this one? Here we go. Deshaun, just recently, a friend of mine was taken off to foster care because of an incident with her father. She was getting into a place in her life where she was going to need to use tampons. We got the puberty thing showing up. Don't get me started about those damn cancer sticks, he writes here. And her father offered to help her teach her how to use them. Somehow, she wound up telling this to a group of girls on her bus. They spoke to her counselor. The counselor called the Child Protective Services. The police were later notified. My friend was taken into protective custody. Okay, now this is the story, okay, that we got. When I first heard about this, I did the whole what the fuck thing. And I kept thinking over and over about how completely fucked up the situation was. What business did her dad have teaching her how to use a fucking tampon? Well, I guess somebody's got to show her this shit. After the initial shock wore off, I started to ask myself questions. It occurred to me that her father was teaching how to use a tampon is no different than from my mother, who happens to be a lesbian, teaching my two sisters the same. Now, there's a couple of questions here. Is there a woman in the house or whatever? I mean, I'm not a dad. I don't know anything about this kind of shit. The whole thing is just kind of bizarre anyway. What exactly is it that makes this so different in my mind? My mom is attracted to women, so is my friend's dad, as far as I know. But I don't suspect my mom being sexually attracted to either my sister because she feels it's time for them to learn how to keep from bleeding all over their panties. There are two things that stick out in my mind. Number one being that she feels responsible for the whole thing, classic response to someone who's been sexually abused. And number two being that she had mentioned to some girls on the bus a few other things her father had done that motivated them to speak with her counselor. Nothing that she felt to be wrong, just... Well, I don't really know what she felt. The things her father did were out of the ordinary. I wasn't privy to the details of what else she had told them. Okay, so you don't have all the facts right off the top, and Dad's doing other shit too, so she's out of there. It's a hard call. No, not really, because you don't have all the facts, so you're not able to make a call. But maybe I'm too close to see the obvious answer here, which is true, but not in the way you think. Is my friend someone who's been sexually abused, or is she the daughter of a father who doesn't realize how it looks for him to be involved with his daughter on that level? I'm really confused right now. Just wanted the opinion of someone I respect. Can't do anything right now, but I need to understand this for my own sanity. Yours, Lemonade, piece of work, Ethnic Equilibrium, Caressa, and Caressa, the Ronin alien kitten. Okay, well, obviously, this is a fucked up scenario. Now, I fail to believe that this school would move in there and take the kids out over something like that. There is all other stuff you've already said that you don't know what's going on. And you are not involved here. Okay? Mind your own fucking business, dude. Why are you getting involved in this shit? Okay? It's like you're looking for drama here. Okay? Stand the fuck back. Okay? This kid is all fucked up. Okay? She's, there's some shit going on with her dad. She tells some other girls. Girls tell the counselors. Counselors go, okay, I guess there's some shit going on. You don't have all the facts. Fuck off. This isn't your call. Okay? Step back. There's nothing you can do about it. So why are you getting involved with this? I don't understand this. Dude, like, don't stress yourself out. Now, if you want to, you know, to preserve your own sanity, that's fine. You know, I would say that to preserve your own sanity, you go, I don't have all the data. Okay? It's not for you to judge this shit. You don't got the data. You're not involved. Back the fuck off. Thanks for calling. Dear Sean, do you have any plans to show do you have any plans for a show on how to live off the map? This is like off the grid kind of a thing. Granted, this is very difficult for an extended period of time. But if you were to show how to live for about 2 weeks, that would set up a good foundation and a good solid amount of time. Peace and war, a Grundle boy. Well, I don't believe in living off the grid, to be honest with you. There are folks who say that you can run away and go live in the bush and live off the grid and all that kind of stuff. Now, there's a few ideas of living off the grid. But if you mean living off the grid as in supporting yourself, with, you know, there's all kinds of mags like American Survival Guide, stuff like that, that show people how to, you know, generate their own power, you know, grow their own food, this kind of stuff, so that, you know, if everything goes sideways, you too can be healthy and free, you know, that kind of a thing. Now, the other side is you want to live off the map, meaning that you want to, like, evade, you know, observance and shit like that. Well, that's getting harder and harder in society, okay? And the more you try to do it, Well, you know, the more you're going to see more obvious that this guy who doesn't want to sign up for any club cards, it's getting more and more expensive for you to not track your purchases, things like this. Like, for example, down at Safeway there, you got two prices. People who are members of the club, the club card, or people who aren't members of the club. And if you're not a member of the club and you don't want your purchases tracked, well, you know, you wind up paying twice as much for your food or whatever the fuck it is. That's how they work it out. Now, we passed the halfway point this year. Okay, there are more people living in cities than outside of cities. Okay, so you can't really run away into the bushes and go hide. I mean, you could do that, but what the fuck's the point? You're missing all the good stuff about living in the future. All right, and eventually there's going to be, like, cybernetics and all this kind of stuff. One day we will have flying cars. Even if we have to build them our fucking selves, we will have flying cars. If you go run off into the bush and you're not able to deal with that, then, you know, what the fuck? How are you going to, you know, how are you going to stay part of society? I mean, even if you go online and are surfing the internet, to some degree, you're still being plugged in. I don't believe in just, you know, running away. I mean, if you've got a purpose, don't get me wrong, but it costs a lot of money to do that, to actually live how you choose. You know, to be, what you're talking about here is to be independent. Okay, the rule is to be dependent on nothing, have two jobs, things like that. So if you have to say, fuck you, I'm leaving, you have the power to do that, but you got to have another job to back you up so you're not caught in the sling. See, that's the plan. You always got to have two, three jobs going on, and it's very difficult to do that. So that would be the one thing you got to do. The other thing you got to do is bank your cash. Make sure you follow economics and finances. Make sure you have a good, solid understanding of money, because at the end of the day, money really does make the world go round. Okay? Sorry to say it, but like Run DMC says, man, when was the last time that love bought your clothes? Okay? I'm here to tell you, it's about the fucking dollar. Now, it's nice to have morals, and it's nice to have ethics, but you will find that people's moral and ethical standing is directly related to their economic standing. Okay? If people start fucking starving and shit, i.e. New Orleans, you see that there's, you know, rampant, open anarchy in the streets. People are gang raping other people in cars. It's fucking brutal. You know? So, you know, for all the people out there who seem to think, well, you know, we could all just kumbaya and get along. No, it doesn't work like that, because people equal shit. It's the truth. I'm sorry. But it's the fucking truth. All you gotta do is look at any example in history and you will see societies degrade into utter shit. Case in point. Case in point. Never mind Somalia. I beat that horse to death. Let's just rewind it back a little bit to the former Republic of Yugoslavia. Let's go take a look over there. It was a fucking jewel. They had the Olympics there. Everything was Ichiban fucking Bon, man. Everything was just Bakshi over there. It was great. Good times. But then, oh, wait. What happens? Civil unrest. Buddy dies. Everything takes a shit. Racial tensions go through the roof, largely motivated by religious backings. And then, boom. You got rape camps and landmines and people murdering people, and it's just a fucking nightmare. Why? Because people are fucking stupid, because we live in a demon-haunted religious world. This is the truth. So the only way you can avoid that, full circle, the only way you can avoid that, if you want to be truly independent and live off the map, focus on making some fucking money. That's how it works. Now then, into Oz Terror News, sent to me by the Viking. Got a good couple stories here. The Australian government has been accused of rushing through anti-terror laws that allow police to use lethal force if they believe an attack is imminent. Okay. The shoot-to-kill provision was revealed in a confidential draft legislation leaked Friday to the annoyance of Prime Minister John Howard, who insisted the law should be implemented quickly in the interest of national security. Yeah, that's always good when they do that. Law Council of Australia President John North said Saturday the government was attempting to prevent the legal fallout experienced by British anti-terrorism police who shot dead Brazilian John Charles de Menezes in a London subway station last July after mistaking him for a suicide bomber. North said that under the current laws, police could only shoot to kill if they believed they were directly threatened. But the draft legislation leaked as to allow for the lethal force if it could protect the life of another person. Well, I don't really have a problem with this law. If they're saying if it could protect the life of another person, i.e. there's a guy, he's got a knife, he's going to stab another lady, you fucking dust him. Under this, there seems to be enough room to maneuver, and it seems to be directly pointed at the London situation where the person was shot, he said. The draft law says police only need to call on a suspect to surrender if practicable. That's a weird word. I would think that would probably be a typo. It might be if practical, but anyway. There is controversy over whether Dominguez was given a chance to surrender before being shot 7 times in the head as officers held him down. Well, if they're holding him down, he's not really surrendering in it either, leading to reports the commander of the British operation could be charged with manslaughter. Never going to happen. That whole situation, we don't even have a muddy picture of that situation. There's all kinds of shit going on there. North said the government was not conducting proper consultation over the proposed laws, which he said threatened basic Australian freedoms. The government is acting with indecent haste to bring in these laws, he told public radio. The laws due to be introduced in Parliament on October 31st, dun-dun-dun, Halloween, and the government has given a Senate inquiry to only one sitting day to scrutinize their contents. Wow, what does that remind me of, Patriot Act much? Howard describes the release of the draft laws as irresponsible, saying they were being implemented as soon as possible because they were vital for national security. We can't have any undue delay, he told reporters. It had kept details of the proposed legislation confidential, but Australian Capital Territory Chief Minister John Stanhope published on Friday saying he wanted them to be properly debated by the public. So clearly what we got here is another Patriot Act situation going down in Australia, which I find to be totally insane because Australia has been completely not attacked. Like, who the fuck is attacking Australia? Thanks for calling. But also in Oz terror news, the Law Council of Australia has warned that the government's proposed terror laws need further scrutiny before being submitted to lawmakers. A draft copy of the new sweeping laws, which plans to include to jail people for up to 7 years if they support insurgents. This is all part of this new law they got coming through here. They were leaked on Friday. This same document was leaked. The Law Council's president, John North, said the government is rushing the laws and acting... Had the laws enacted despite the possibility they could lead to abuse by police. So if you support an insurgent, this is like the Australian Patriot Act. He has criticized the government for allowing the Senate just 1 week to hold an inquiry to propose new laws. The government is acting with indecent haste to bring in these laws. The states and territories have been given 1 week to examine the laws. No one else is being given proper consultation. And there's this entire sequence here is regarding Patriot Act coming in for the United, or for Australia. It's exactly the same thing as the United States Patriot Act, only it's in Aussie news. Isn't that frightening? Well, hopefully they'll have better chance of defeating it down there than we had up here, you know, but I won't hold my breath. In Afternow news from Wyandi, okay? That's a dedication. this is crazy, okay? You know, in Afternow, I talk about things called the spiders, and in my stories, there's a substance called planamel, which what it does is it's able to increase any bone by 50%, but you can only increase the original size of the bone by 50%. So you could make your finger 50% longer, but you couldn't, like, double its size. That's as big as it'll do, because you need to have, it needs to be alive, and you need to have basic, you know, that's why it's called planamel. It's like plastic enamel for your bones. With the increased job anxiety in China's market economy, more Chinese men and women are opting for painful body lengthening procedures to get taller. Okay, now this is unbelievable. A June 2005 report on China Radio International updated the 2002 news of the weird story, which hundreds were enduring the months-long Ilzarov procedure, forced breaking bones in the leg, then manually adjusting the leg brace 4 times a day to pull the bones slightly apart, then waiting as they grow back and fuse together. Jesus Christ! Could you imagine this? As a 33-year-old, 5-foot-tall woman who's aiming to be 5'4", said 2002, I'll have a better job, a better boyfriend, and eventually a better husband. It's a long-term investment if I'm taller. Okay, now, that's insane. All right, that's totally fucking psycho. I cannot believe that is happening, but that is what happens if you allow people to get root on your brain. Okay, that's fucked up. And speaking of fucked up, looks like we got a new war coming. All right, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has met Tony Blair at Checkers for a private talks over Iran and Iraq. You know, maybe we should start getting behind these wars, because they're going to happen anyway. So, you know, maybe I should just start being happy about the war. That might be a plan. We definitely put a more positive spin on the news, don't you think? They discussed their shared concern about the need for Iran to meet its international obligations, a Downing Street spokeswoman a Downing Street spokesman said, not a spokesperson, a spokesman. Iraq's constitutional referendums, in which millions voted on Saturday, and security situation were also discussed. They were greatly encouraged by the level of participation in the referendum, the spokesman said. Both leaders were looking forward to the political process continuing through to the elections in December and beyond, he added. Ms. Rice's visit was part of a European tour to gather support for encouraging Iran to return to international talks over its nuclear program. Now, Iran is pissing everybody off because they've taken their nuclear program and they've given it to their military, and they're like, fuck you, we're going after the bomb. And if you try to get in our way, we'll use any means necessary in order to shelve you back. That's their words, any means necessary. So pretty tough talk coming out of Iran. During her visit, Ms. Rice told the BBC Iran should end support of the insurgency in Iraq and become good neighbors instead. Because apparently in Iran, we got lots of people being supported in the insurgency and all that good shit. Lots of bombs going off. People are blaming England for these bombs. The Iranian ambassador in London, Dr. Syed Mohammad Hossein Al-Diji, insisted his country did not support the use of violence against British troops in Iraq. Absolutely not! The government doesn't know. But Al-Qaeda does, and Al-Hussein does, and all these fucking terrorist groups you're hiding in your country does. But no, no, he's not lying. The government definitely has got a policy on paper that says, oh no, we don't like that. He also denied that his country was causing trouble in Iraq as a response to criticism of its nuclear program. Yeah, well, you know, we're in the realm of secret squirrel stuff. He told the BBC Britain and Iran had talked about the attacks through diplomatic channels, and he was suspicious that Britain was highlighting its complaints to put pressure on Iran. Interesting. He rejected Washington's belief that if Iran wanted to develop nuclear weapons and said it needed nuclear energy to replace oil stocks when they ran out. Yeah, when we run out of oil, we're going to need nuclear energy. So what we're going to do then is we're going to hand our fucking nuclear program to our army. Because, you know, that's... I'm sorry, I can't spin that. Yeah, obviously it's bullshit. UK Foreign Secretary Jack Straw, speaking separately to the BBC, insisted Britain had evidence linking Iran or Hezbollah to the insurgency activity in Iraq. What are the fucking odds? What are the odds that there's a, you know, I mean, that's, you don't even have to stretch for that. That's totally believable. What we have presented to the Iranians is evidence to which our judgment clearly links the improvised explosive devices which have been used against British and other troops, mainly in the south of Iraq, to Hezbollah and Iran. We look to the Iranians to desist from anything they have been involved with in the past and use their very considerable influence with Hezbollah to ensure they continue to ensure this continued use stops in Iraq. Mr. Straw also said the British and American governments were in agreement over how to deal with Iran's nuclear program. So I guess shit's heating up in Iran because that's where we're going next. Terrorism. You know, terrorism is a funny word. Because just because now they're overusing the word doesn't mean that terrorism isn't real. Terrorism is a real thing. Intimidation through terrorist tactics is a real thing. It's a political thing that's been used for, well, hundreds of thousands of years. Assassination, all these techniques. Very, very, very old used programs because they work. You know, I mean, it's not a big shock system here. I mean, to some degree, it could be argued that putting police on every street corner could be a form of terrorism. You obey the law because you're afraid of enforcement, right? So really, terrorism is a method of enforcing the will of a certain political party, even though it's illegally enforcement of that will. Now, that's exactly what we're talking about here with PETA. Now, PETA and I have had kind of a love-hate relationship, but PETA recently dropped the ball. They've been fucking it up wholesale because they're getting absolutely batshit bonkers. They're going fucking crazy, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not all into torturing animals. I don't think torturing animals is fucking cool. But I got to admit that I eat meat because, well, people eat fucking meat. People who don't eat meat, well, you know, I'm not even going to get into this with you because it's just ridiculous. But, you know, my partner is a vegan. I wouldn't want him to back me in a fist fight, okay? Generally, in the whole hunter-killer warrior aspect of the world, the strong survive and the meat eaters inherently are stronger. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth. They may not live as long, la la la, but when it comes right down to the fist fight, the meat eaters will win. I hate to tell you that.
Now, once we get past that, though, unless, of course, you're doing the whole, you know, now I'm going to get mail about the Shaolin and Buddhist fighters and all this kind of shit, okay? A lot of this also has to do with your ethnicity and your background, all this kind of jazz, what your body type is. But, guys, come on now. People, some people need to eat meat. We got to get into this here, okay? And if you're going to eat meat, you know, I mean, that's fucking people are more important than animals. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. Now, regardless of your political ideology, okay, whether or not, well, I'm a vegan and blah, blah, blah. Great. Good for you. Fucking A. All right. I'm personally looking forward to learning how to hunt. Never been hunting. Want to go hunting? I think it'll be fucking cool so that I can make sure that I can feed myself rather than having to go and gather a bunch of fruit and berries. I can just shoot something. Okay, now I'm just being an asshole. No, but seriously, I think that I believe myself, and there's some evidence to support this, that people are supposed to have some meat in their diet, all right? Now, but PETA has, I think they've recently just joined my list of people I do not support. I can't really get behind PETA anymore because of this particular story. Ella McPherson, who's a nice-looking woman with good-sized tits, has backed out of a $1 million contract with a fur company after becoming terrified she will be targeted by anti-fur extremists. Now, granted, there could be a certain amount of spin here. The 42-year-old supermodel, who signed a seven-figure deal earlier this year to become the face of the luxury fur company Black Glamma, has asked lawyers to pull the plug on the campaign. This is over a big, big money deal here. Her decision comes in the wake of a frenzied anti-fur crusade largely headed by the ferocious group, or by the vociferous group, People for the Ethical Treatments of Animals, or PETA. She received a threatening letter from PETA's vice president. Okay, so we have the letter that PETA sent. Okay, Dan Matthews warning her not to go ahead with the Black Glamma campaign. Don't do this. He wrote in the letter, quote, "By making yourself the new face of fur for Black Glamma, you are also making yourself a top target for PETA. This is his organization and animal activists around the world. When you take money for such a violent industry, you also must carry their baggage." Okay, that, end quote, okay? Now, that right there is intimidation. Without a doubt, can't fucking argue me there. Now, whether or not you believe in PETA or you're a vegetarian or whatever and you think I'm a scumbag because I want to learn to hunt, whatever, okay, we got to all be in agreement here. That is totally, if you do this, you're going to become a target. Okay, that's he's not warning her. This isn't like the VP of some other company saying, listen, dude, you know, before you do this, PETA's really extreme and they may target you, so you need to be aware of that. This isn't a friendly statement. That's a threat. That's a total fucking threat. Yesterday, a source close to the supermodel said, now this is obviously hearsay, Ella has never seen anything ethically wrong in wearing fur and is very keen to get involved with the campaign. But in the wake of recent developing against the fur industry from militant protesters and animal rights activists, Ellie felt no amount of money was worth jeopardizing the safety for herself or her family, and she would rather the ads were pulled. The Black Glamma shots were fantastic, so the company is obviously determined that everything should go ahead as planned. As far as they're concerned, the seven-figure sum deal has been signed, and Ellie is tied to it. Both sets of lawyers are currently trying to hash out last-minute deal to reach some kind of compromise. Now, this is fucking bullshit. Okay, that PETA can get away with that. That's unfucking believable. That's thuggery, it's bullying, and it's fucking terrorism. I'll come out and call it that because that's exactly what that is. If that's not terrorism, I don't know what it is. If I was Ellie, and I would just fucking keep the cash, say, fair ball, we're all good, I'm moving to Florida, and we'll get a protection team in a state with some decent rules of engagement. Now, the first fucking PETA protester that runs up to me and is going to start doing some crazy shit, I drop it. Fuck it. You get drilled. But she's just throwing blood on you. Yeah, she's just throwing blood. Jesus Christ. How fucked up does the counterculture have to be to result to this kind of stuff? You know, PETA's trying to spread awareness, and that's fine. But to start using force and stuff like this, I mean, go take a look at some of their fucking policies, man. These guys are crazy. Really fucking nuts. And I can't support that group. As far as I'm concerned, PETA can suck my ass. Now, in booster news, stem cells have for the first time been harvested from embryos without killing them, using a technique that could eventually provide children with a personal store of spare tissue parts for treating diseases later in life. Very cool. Like good to have a body bank. The successful experiment in the United States paves the way for scientists to create a link to create a bank master cells that are genetically identical to children before they are born. Should the child grow up to develop a disease such as diabetes, or Parkinson's, the cells could be used for therapy. This is a fantastic fucking story. Happy about this. Of course, it'll only be the wealthy children who can afford this, but still, rather good. It also promises to address one of the strongest ethical objections to embryonic stem cell research. The cells have a great medical potential as they could come from any type of tissue in the human body, but their use is opposed only by religious groups, as they can be extracted only by destroying embryos. And of course, the Mud Huts are really upset about this. If the new procedure, tested so far only on mice, also works in human beings, if it does work, it will allow researchers to obtain ES cells from embryos that remain intact and could go on to become children. So you're able to extract cells very early on, and it doesn't destroy the embryo. This is fucking great. So the Mud Hutters can shut the fuck up. Once a single cell has been removed from an 8-cell embryo conceived by in vitro fertilization, it would be grown into a colony of ES cells in the laboratory. These would then be frozen and banked or donated for medical research. The rest of the embryo would be implanted into a woman's womb, where it would have a good chance of giving rise to a normal pregnancy. Single cells are already removed from embryos to screen for genetic diseases such as cystic fibrosis without any known adverse effects. Now, personally, I am a big believer. Like, if my wife and I were going to have kids, I would think that. Now, granted, this is kind of a nifty one. But I don't think that I think they should be doing this screening, because if you're going to give birth to a child and the child is going to be sick and deformed and only have like a 5-year lifespan or something like that, yeah, I would encourage abortion, because why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do that to the child? It's selfish and it's fucking cruel. But anyway, Robert Lazuna of Advanced Cell Technologies in Worcester, Massachusetts, who led the research, said children born in this way would grow up with a lifetime of supply of perfectly matched stem cells that could be used to treat any disease they might develop throughout their life. This is fucking great. The cells were taken from an embryo that resulted in a child. They would be a perfect genetic match. They could be frozen down, stored, and used throughout the child's lifetime if it develops diabetes or heart disease, even if it was going bald and wanted a hair transplant. That's kind of vain, but, you know, whatever. It's your body bank. You can do what you like with your genetics, savings, and clone. In corpse news, speaking of this kind of stuff, and this was sent to me by DubiX. Now, this is from the article, which I've linked to. Only fools donate their bodies for science, as we're learning from recent scandals. There's a massive underground economy where thousands of body parts are sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars, even body parts from now deceased people who thought they were donating their body parts to science. But now the story gets stranger still. Tulane University in New Orleans was receiving more bodies than it used to, so it hired a New York company to distribute these so-called surplus body parts for profit. The New York company, National Anatomic Service, turned around and sold bodies to the Pentagon to be used for, get this, landmine testing. That's right. People who thought they were donating their bodies to science were actually having their bodies used to test military explosives. That's not what most people have in mind when they think they're donating their bodies to science. Nice speculation there, but they probably don't give a fuck. I've warned people against being organ donors for years. When you donate organs or your entire body to some organization out of goodwill, there's absolutely no guarantee that the organization, even a university, isn't going to sell your dead body to someone who will use it for some outrageous or obscene purpose. The surface of this story proves that keep your organs even when you're dead, and don't let some huckster sell your body parts for his own personal profit. If you enjoyed this article, you may be interested in an article entitled "Cures for Cancer Already Exist, but Not in the Realm of Chemical-Based Medicine," says a holistic nutritionist. Now, the sad thing is here is that, you know, we do need to be organ donors because there are people who are waiting for fucking organs. And, you know, although it's unfortunate that some of these body parts are used for testing landmines, and landmines are hideous and insidious and totally bad and everybody hates them, blah, 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 but you can't just say, no, don't donate your body for science for just this specific reason. That's ignorant and it's silly. So I would say I think I'm an organ donor, and I would encourage everyone out there to be an organ donor.
Provided, of course, you're not going to get cryogenically frozen, which is illegal in British Columbia. It's BC and Chile. Those are the only two places in the world where you can't get cryogenically frozen. Now, I personally am all for cryonic suspension, and I like life extension, all that good transhumanist shit. But, you know, until I can get myself set up so that I can actually, you know, save my own body and all that good shit, well, I may as well send your body off to help some other people, even if it helps, you know, in developing weapons. Well, so be it. Now, in scanner news, a scanning system inspired by bats could spell the end of airport metal detectors, according to the European Space Agency. Now, this is an interesting story. It is based on the principles of echolocation, the technique bats use to hunt in the dark. I guess it's like sonar, but it's not. It's echolocation. Named TADAR, after the Brazilian Tadaria bat, uses its millimeter waves to scan for concealed weapons and can detect non-metallic objects as easily as metallic ones. So they can detect non-metallic objects, so like fiberglass knives, that kind of thing, can all be picked up. The company behind the scanner, Farent Systems, explains the technology was originally developed for ESA's space systems. The scanner uses 3mm microwaves to scan people as they walk through a booth. Its sensors detect thermal energy emitted by the body as well as microwaves being reflected from objects. Clothes become transparent, but denser objects such as plastic explosives or other weapons show up clearly on the background thermal image of the body. Everyday items like door keys and money will also be clearly visible, as will liquids and non-metallic items. Very interesting stuff. There's a photo of it on the website, too. It's kind of hard for me to read, but I imagine if you were trained on how to interpret this stuff, you'd have a clear understanding. Different materials reflect the microwaves at different frequencies and will show up in different representative colors. They will give scan operators an idea of what kind of materials they're dealing with. The system can operate in both passive and active modes. When it is in passive mode, people will need to stand still to be scanned, but in active mode, it can produce a three-dimensional map of a scene from a distance up to 50 meters. TADAR is being demonstrated at this week's Inter-Airport European Expedition in Munich. Very interesting stuff there. I wonder how useful this is going to be in the future. As well, when you start thinking of things like copper clothing and silver weave clothing, you know, of course, if you have that, then you're obviously concealing something, and you know you're going to get stripped, pulled off to the side, completely strip searched. Now, here's a bit of a story here. I don't know if this storm is still brewing, but in storm news sent to me by Pig Monkey, a new tropical storm has formed in the Caribbean, equaling a 70-year-old record for the highest number of storms in the Atlantic in a single season. Tropical Storm Wilma. We're down to W here, people. It's expected to become a hurricane before heading to the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico and the U.S. Gulf Coast by the end of the week. So by the end of this week, we could have another one. These areas are still recovering from the devastation caused by Hurricanes Katrina and Stan. Wilma is the 21st named storm of the 2005 season. Only one other time has this many storms formed since the record began keeping 154 years ago, and that was in 1933. Wilma formed in the northern western part of the Caribbean Sea early on Monday, threatening the Cayman Islands. A warning issued there, meaning that hurricane conditions could be felt within 36 hours, so the shit is on. The National Hurricane Center in the United States said that Wilma is moving erratically, with sustained winds of 65 kilometers an hour, 40 miles per hour, and is expected to bring heavy rain to the Cayman Islands and Jamaica. Long-term forecasts show the storm heading towards the Gulf of Mexico and the U.S. Gulf Coast within the next 2 or 3 days. Nearly 1,200 people were killed in the United States by Hurricane Katrina in August. Hundreds more died in Mexico and Central America when Tropical Storm Stan struck earlier this month. Now, when you couple all this with the earthquakes happening in Pakistan and stuff like that, man, clearly the planet is pretty pissed off. We got some major fucking changes going on, you know, and I don't think it's all just, you know, a natural cycle. I think maybe we're heading towards global warming, and this is all part of it. It'll be interesting to see what this winter is going to be like. Now, into armor news. Now, this is very Star Trek. Engineers are testing a new kind of transparent armor, stronger and lighter than traditional materials that could stop armor-piercing weapons from penetrating vehicle windows. The Air Force Research Laboratory Materials and Manufacturing's Directorate is testing aluminum oxynitrate. It's called Alon. We'll call it Alon. It's a replacement for the traditional multi-layered
glass transparencies now used in existing ground air armored vehicles. The test being done in conjunction with the Army Research Laboratory at Aberdeen Proving Grounds and University of Dayton Research Institute in Ohio. Alon is a ceramic compound with a high compressive strength and durability. When polished, it is the premier transparent armor for use in armored vehicles, said First Lieutenant Joseph LaMonica, Transparent Armor Subdirection Lead. The substance itself is light years ahead of glass, he said, saying that it offers a high performance and lighter weight. So we got some see-through armor. It's kind of like, makes me think of that see-through aluminum. Alon is virtually scratch-resistant, offers substantial impact resistance, and provides better durability and protection against armor-piercing threats. Roughly half the weight and half the thickness of traditional glass transparent armor, said the lieutenant. Wow, so it's 50% reduction. Good stuff. In a June 2004 demonstration, an Alon test piece held up to both 30-caliber Russian M44 sniper rifle and a 50-caliber Browning sniper rifle with armor-piercing bullets. While the bullets pierced the glass samples, the armors withstood the impact with no penetration. In extensive testing, Alon has performed well against multiple hits of 30-caliber armor-piercing rounds. Typical of anti-aircraft fire, Lieutenant LaMonica said, tests focusing on multiple hits from a 50-caliber rounds and improvised explosives devices are in the works. The lieutenant is optimistic about the results because of the physical properties are designed and the materials intended to stop higher-level threats. Well, you know, you gotta know that it's always good to have additional armor. Armor, I'm a big fan of armor. I like it. Think it's a good thing. And I got a piece of cyberpunk kit for you to round out the news story today. It's a new piece of cyberpunk kit that is a flashlight. Now, this one is not available to civilian market. But apparently, now, they've got Surefire makes a flashlight called the Gladius, which I think is a big scam because all it does is it has a strobe effect, which apparently temporarily blinds your opponent if it's in the dark. Well, any bright light strobing at you is going to blind you. But apparently, if you need to temporarily blind someone, consider the DEF 3. It is the latest flashlight dreamed by the U.S. government's Defense Advanced Research Projection Agency, DARPA, and designed by Optics Experts Science Applications International Corporation, with flashlight maker Surefire for use with the Army issue non-lethal weapon. The device is a 5-watt Luxion V primary LED, can generate 120 lumens of light, more than 10 times the brightness of a standard flashlight, and enough to dazzle someone for a few seconds while Marines figure out if he's holding an AK-47 or a loaf of bread. Unlike most flashlights, which use parabolic mirrors to concentrate the light, the DEF 3's beam shines straight through an aspherical lens to capture and redirects twice as many photons. The DEF 3 will be deployed later this month. Now, 16 colored LEDs flank the DEF 3's main beam. They can be used for simple signaling, say green for safe, red for under fire, and are employed for more specialized operations. So this has red. It won't ruin right night vision because red doesn't dilate your pupils, which is why, red's a really great cover for all that good stuff. Green is also nighttime eye-friendly and ideal for map reading. And infrared, and this is all in one flashlight now, useful for night vision equipment. Now, the thing is, though, that this is not available on the civilian market. You can get a civilian version of it, but it's not as good as the military one. So if anyone down there happens to get their hands on one of these little bad boys, hey, set me up. You know, have one fall off a truck and send it up to the Rand Media Studios. Address it to me, because after all, a nice flashlight is always sexy. And stealing from the military isn't a crime. Hell, it's a tradition. Today's Daily Hack. Hacking the Machine Identification Code Technology Project. This is a very cool project, and we'll check it out here. This guide is part of the Machine Identification Code Technology Project. It explains how to read the date, time, and printer serial number from forensic tracking codes in a Xerox DocuColor series laser printout. The information is a result of a research by Robert Lee, Seth Schoen, Patrick Murphy, Joel Alwyn, and Andrew Bunny Hang. We acknowledge the assistance of EFF supporters who have contributed to sample printouts to give us material to study. We are still looking for help within this research. We are asking the public to submit test sheets or join the printer's mailing list to participate in our reverse engineering efforts. And I think that everyone should be involved in this. This is a great cause. The DocuColor series prints a rectangular grid of 15 by 8 minuscule yellow dots on every page. The same grid is printed repeatedly over the entire page,
but the repetitions of the grid are offset slightly from one another so that each grid is separate from the others. The grid is printed parallel to the edge of the page, and the offset of the grid from the edges of the page seem to vary. These dots encode up to 14 7-bit bytes of tracking information, plus row and column parity for error correction. Typically, about 4 of these bytes were unused, depending on the printer model, giving 10 bytes of useful data. Below, we explain how to extract serial number, date, and time from these dots. Following these explanations, we implemented the decoding process in an interactive computer program, which, of course, you can download from this site and see what everyone is learning about your computer printouts. And that's all I've got for you today. But don't you worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 people. They are 56 continuing subscribers from last month, plus 3 new subscribers, and 12 one-time donations. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. And as well, thanks to everyone and their assistance in gathering personal data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the Resident Evil soundtrack. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Boy Sets Fire called After the Eulogy. And this, thank you very much, Stu, for this. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line. Rise, 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 rise. Red signs up in the obituary. What happened to us? With your anger, with your fucking rage. What a death is lost. Let your privilege, denial, and self-reified. A tradition, last time to obligate it. What's your fucking right? 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 What's your fucking right?